This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You just heard Jolie say it. Hour number three of the Fan Evening Show with yours truly, Jack Hillgrove, on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Happy to be with you, as always, on these airwaves. Taking you up until 10:35 tonight. Nightly sports call, Pomp and Pony. Immediately following us. Follow me on Twitter at JackWTOV9 if you're feeling generous. Talking Steelers, talking Penguins, who are tied at 2 at the end of the first period with Marc-Andre Fleury in his final game, more than likely in a NHL uniform in Pittsburgh tonight. At 8:25, Stephen Thompson will join the fold. We'll talk Pitt football. At 9 o'clock, George Michalowski will talk some Pitt hoops with us. And George just quote-tweeted my tweet of the show because we had Nick Faribault on at 7 o'clock. Stephen, and then George says the Alan Saunders coaching tree well represented on the Fan tonight. It is. Shout out to Alan Saunders of Pittsburgh Sports Now. They do a tremendous job and have some very talented people covering sports in this city, and they put them elsewhere, and they've done a pretty good job at it. So, Pitt football, a big one against SMU this Saturday. Undefeated Pitt, one loss SMU, in a matchup where maybe one or perhaps both starting quarterbacks might not play, and that's Eli Holstein and that's Kevin Jennings of SMU. Both guys banged up this week and might end up being game time decisions. So we'll talk about that in a moment. But first, caller on hold who has a topic here, which I'm glad that he wants to talk about because admittedly, kind of didn't get to talk about this one. So Jeff in Bethel Park wants to talk how ridiculously good the Steelers special teams is. What's up, man? Thanks for giving us a buzz.
Jack, thanks for taking my call, man. Yeah, so we've been talking about the special teams so far this year, but unsung hero, how about this punter? Man, you know, I no longer want to go check on the pierogies when it's fourth down. I need to see what this guy's going to do because he's putting, you know, he's taking us out of harm's way. He had one last night. I think I heard Joe Buck say that one went for 55. It was right down the sideline on the hash marks. Just pinned them right on the side. I mean, this guy's dialing it in, man, and it's no longer a huge liability.
Yeah, and it makes me really wonder, Jeff, how Corliss Waitman, when he was with the Steelers before, didn't beat out Presley Harvin. And it continuously blows my mind. 29 punts, averaging 46, 47 yards a punt, over half of his punts, nearly half, I guess, depending on how you look at the percentage, 14 of 29 inside the 20-yard line. He's been phenomenal. And, of course, the splash plays with the blocked kicks, Calvin Austin's punt return. It's kept them in games. It's swung the momentum in their favor. And I think Danny Smith deserves all the flowers and all the praise in the world.
Well, I'll tell you where the special teams really counts is when you get into January. That's when that kind of stuff turns games and can lose games for you. So, good to see it, and you know, I think it's a huge aspect of the team that's going to have to keep rolling.
I agree, Jeff. While we have you, real quick, name me one Halloween candy that you absolutely despise.
Oh man, one Halloween candy I despise. I'm going to go with anything with nougat, man. I like Snickers, but like Three Musketeers, forget it. Take that marshmallowy crap out of here.
Jeff, thanks for the call, man. I'm with him. Three Musketeers stinks. Twix I do like because of the caramel and the wafer. And a Snickers bar on the golf course. Maybe it's just like me mentally remembering you're not you when you're hungry ads. And they're tricking me into think that Snickers fills me up. But a hot dog and a Snickers at the turn will breathe life back into me and get me ready for another piss poor back nine, just like the front nine. That's neither here nor there. But this Steelers special teams, and Jeff brought up a great point, later in the season, it matters a hell of a lot more. And that's one of the reasons that I didn't get the chance to bring up yet, so I'm glad Jeff called and did, was why I think the Steelers have a really, really legitimate shot to beat the Chiefs, and why I think they will beat the Chiefs on Christmas Day. Boswell, a beast, only missed one field goal so far this year, and it was from 50-plus. Perfect on extra points. Corliss Waitman, 14 of 29 punts inside the 20-yard line, net average of 43. And all the splash plays with the block kicks and Calvin Austin making it happen. Shout out to you, Danny Smith. You are indeed cut from a different cloth. If you know, you know. Shout out to Jared Bartman for going viral on Twitter for that soundbite. That was awesome. All right, Pitt football. SMU, Pitt, two of the more talented offensive units in the Atlantic Coast Conference, doing battle on Saturday night at 8 o'clock on the road. And I had mentioned this last week, and I'll mention it again. We're going to find out a lot about certain teams now in this new age of college football, because teams will have to travel thousands of miles to play conference games. West Virginia just got done playing a road game in Arizona. You know, they'll have to travel to Arizona State. They'll have to travel to Colorado and Utah and BYU. And Penn State's got West Coast matchups on the horizon with Oregon and Washington and USC, who they already played and won a close game against, and UCLA. We're going to find out a lot about teams as this new era gets a couple of years under its belt. You'll see graphics of it, I'm sure, on broadcasts. So-and-so team is undefeated or only has one loss. They're 6-1 when they've got to travel a certain amount of miles away to play a conference game. There are going to be teams that are going to be really good at it, and there's going to be teams that struggle on the road, traveling all kinds of different places. Stanford, California, Dallas, and different teams might be coming into the fold. So we're going to find out if this Pitt team is capable of doing it. And a tough one right off the bat for the distance is this SMU squad. Very similar to Pitt offensively. The Mustangs only average 0.4 of a yard more per game this season. SMU 443.5, Pitt 443.1, and that average was a hell of a lot higher for the Panthers before these last couple of games against Cal and Syracuse when the offense has struggled. The offense wasn't on the field enough to put up the numbers against Syracuse. Shout out to Kyle McCord for that. But the Cal game, it struggled. Eli Holstein struggled. Eli, before he got hurt, efficient, 2 touchdowns, but only 100 yards. You're starting to see Holstein, and I was talking about this last night before the Steeler game with some folks. It seems like Holstein has started to become more in love with the deep ball and isn't checking the ball down to guys like Desmond Reed or, you know, Gavin Bartholomew over the middle, or Sincere Lee, or guys like Poppy Williams. It's been deep shot after deep shot, looking for Kanate Mumfield and Kenny Johnson 20, 30 yards down the field. And that can get you in trouble. So Holstein needs to have a little bit of a, at least I think, not reality check, but kind of go back and go look at what worked for you when you were putting up 73 against Youngstown State and in the North Carolina game, being able to kind of come back and win that game by 2 possessions. But as far as SMU goes, Kevin Jennings, sophomore quarterback, dual threat guy, 1,500 passing yards, 10 touchdowns, has had a solid season, has had a very solid season for them. And he's a guy that's been there, a lot of experience, and you're starting to see him kind of grow more and more in the run game. 3 rushing touchdowns so far this year for the Mustangs quarterback. But he's banged up. Holstein's banged up. And there's a chance you might not see either of them in this game. And regardless of if it's Kevin Jennings or Preston Stone, the Panthers are going to have a very tough time on Saturday night against SMU. And I'm not quite ready to make a prediction just yet. I think we'll save that until tomorrow, because I'm back on the Fan Evening Show tomorrow night, 7 to 10:35. And that might give me a little bit more time to make a decision. 412-928-9370 is the number. Jack Hillgrove with you until 10:35 tonight. The Fan Text Line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. 5 or so minutes into the second period, down at PPG Paints Arena, and shockingly enough, the Penguins give up another goal. That's 3 unanswered. The Penguins now trail the Wild 3-2, and we were talking about that earlier. When does enough become enough with this Penguin squad? They're on the brink of 3-7-1 to start the season. At 8:25, Stephen Thompson of the Post-Gazette will ask him about Eli Holstein's availability. We'll ask him about what's going on with Kevin Jennings at SMU. And realistically, how big of a chance does Pitt have to win this game on Saturday? The odds makers, I don't necessarily think that they do. 7-0, Pitt is, but they're a 7.5-point dog heading into this game, which I think is a lot. And I had this discussion with some people before the Syracuse game. Like, if Pitt were to win and SMU were to win, which they did over Duke, what's that point spread? I would have guessed 4.5, 5.5 max in favor of the Mustangs, but 7.5 is a lot of points. And I think Pitt will have a tough time. We're going to find out a lot about these Panthers. And if they win this game, and if they're able to pick up a win on Saturday against SMU, look out Clemson at home. Look out Louisville on the road. And I think you start to think, if you haven't already, that Pitt's got a very legitimate shot to be in an ACC championship at the end of the year, more than likely against the Hurricanes of Miami. So an opportunity for Pitt to obviously pick up a big game, a big win on the road, and an opportunity for this Pitt offense to bounce back. I mean, you look at last week against Syracuse, and despite them not being on the field, not even for 20 minutes of game time, only 217 yards to be exact. In the Cal game before that, when Pitt was on the field for just over 20 minutes of game time, they don't even get to 300 yards, 277 total yards against the Golden Bears. And I get it. Like, you're not, this Pitt offense under Cade Bell, you're not going to win the time possession battle. And when they're humming and when they're clicking, it's not going to matter, because they might score 40 or 50 points and the other team's offense has to play catch up. And lately, the other team's offense trying to play catch up has become a hell of a lot more hard against the Panthers, because that defense has become very, very good in the last couple of weeks. Just ask Kyle McCord and ask Kyle Lewis, who just got named to an awards watch list this afternoon. The Bednarik Award watch list. Defensive player of the year. Now, there's a lot of guys on that watch list through the midway point of the season, but Kyle Lewis is a guy that deserves to be on it. Impact player times 1,000. Dude flies all over the field, makes impactful plays, turns the ball over. Throw him in there with Rasheem Biles in this defensive line that's starting to come around. Ironically enough, you know, after the Youngstown State game, I probably would have told you that looking at the SMU contest, yeah, Pitt might give up 30 or 35 points, but they might score 40 or 45, and that'll keep them within chances to win the game. Now, I'm thinking to myself, this defense for Pitt might be that one that keeps SMU's offense at bay. And that just goes to show you how much this SMU defense has come around and or this Pitt defense has come around and continue to get better. The Mustangs coming off a 28-27 win at Duke. They put up 40 at Stanford, 34 at Louisville, 42 against Florida State, who's not very good, 66 against TCU in a win, 59 in a win over an FCS school in HCU, Houston Christian. And then on opening day, 29-24, win over Nevada. Their only loss, 18-15 to BYU, who BYU at this point in the season is a top 10 team, ninth in the country, and they might not lose. Utah, Kansas, Arizona State, and Houston left for BYU. That's very favorable. Pitt's, on the other hand, not very favorable. This game on the road, tough as all get out. Virginia at home, they're playing better recently. 4-4, but in a couple impressive wins on their belt. Of course, Clemson on the 16th, and then two road games at the end of the year with Louisville and Boston College. So for as fired up as we should be that this Pitt team is undefeated and ranked in the top 20, with Eli Holstein's health up in the air and with how this offense has kind of come back down to earth the last couple of weeks, I think we can start to raise some questions about how sustainable this Panthers offense and this Panthers success really is. And Saturday will answer a lot of those questions. Stephen Thompson will answer some questions for us after the break. He covers the Panthers for the Post-Gazette. We'll get his thoughts on SMU. We'll get his thoughts on what's going on with Eli Holstein and a lot more with Stephen coming up after the break. We'll check in with the World Series that just got underway a few moments ago. And then, again, your worst Halloween candies. A couple of them come to mind. Jeff in Bethel Park said anything with nougat, which I don't disagree with. That's coming up at the end of the show. But Stephen Thompson of the PG is next. I'm Jack Hillgrove. It's the Fan Evening Show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bottom of the first inning, it is 2-0 Dodgers, and shockingly enough, Joel Nelson, Mookie Betts gets on base, Freddie Freeman homers, and that's why it's 2-0. I mean, he is the surefire World Series MVP if the Dodgers are able to close this thing out tonight. Guys, crazy, crazy good. 2-0 Dodgers, bottom one. Penguins still down 3-2, 6-13 and winding in period number two. Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. That's where we find our good friend, Stephen Thompson of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. He covers the Panthers. Stephen, thanks for joining the program. Big one this Saturday against the Mustangs of Southern Methodist, but questions surrounding the quarterback position for the Panthers and Eli Holstein. What's the latest on his status? I know Pat Narduzzi didn't give a whole lot away, but do you expect Eli Holstein to be available this weekend?
Yeah, to be honest, I can't say for sure, Jack. Like you said, Pat Narduzzi's been pretty tight-lipped about this one. I think he's given us some nuggets here and there about different injuries throughout the year, but this one, I think for obvious reasons, he is being very extra tight-lipped about. We won't really know, and I don't expect that we are going to know until we get down there on Saturday at Gerald Ford Stadium in Dallas. I mean, it's interesting. The Mustangs are facing some questions about their own quarterback health as well. Their starter, Kevin Jennings, took a nasty hit in the Duke game when they played last weekend, so he's questionable as well. I think there's a little bit of gamesmanship going on both sides between Rhett Lashley of SMU and Pat Narduzzi. I don't think anyone wants to tip their hand at all. But the other thing is, I think both teams have really capable backup quarterbacks. You know, Nate Yarnell for Pitt, I don't think I've been shy about how much I believe in him and think that he's a good player. And then Preston Stone was the starter for SMU coming out of training camp to start the year, and then he gets benched, eventually gets overcame by or beaten out by Kevin Jennings. So I think both teams would feel just as confident with their backup quarterbacks in, but obviously you want those starters in because it's kind of a similar thing where Jennings and Holstein kind of provide the big playability that, you know, Yarnell and Preston Stone on the other side haven't been able to show throughout their careers.
Yeah, and a small sample size, obviously, in the Syracuse game with how much the offense wasn't on the field because the defense just kept picking off Kyle McCord. But I feel like the productivity of the Pitt offense has kind of dropped off in the last couple of weeks. So only 17 points against Cal and, 21 of the 41 off of pick sixes against Syracuse. What has changed offensively? What maybe have teams done differently to defend Pitt, or what do you think has changed about this Pitt offense and why we haven't seen as much production as we did to start the season?
Well, I don't know if teams are doing many different things, but I think the book is out a little bit on how you can stop Eli Holstein or maybe bait him into some bad decisions. I think he has been hunting the deep ball a little bit more than he maybe should. This is combined with, you know, against Cal, the running game was pretty good, but, you know, they had a couple explosive plays that really, you know, made up most of the yardage there from Desmond Reed. But, you know, against Syracuse, the running game was almost non-existent. I think they had a hard time blocking Syracuse especially. So, you know, I think it's a combination of the book kind of being out in Holstein. You keep a bunch of DBs back and you try to confuse him. You try to bait him into thinking that there are bigger plays down the field. You take his eyes off of maybe what is the smarter play, which is an open receiver who's, you know, maybe in the flat or something like that, where he can get the ball to a playmaker and have them, you know, pick up some yards after the catch. That worked really well for him, you know, early in the season against West Virginia, second half against Cincinnati, and at other points this year. And he got away. When Eli has struggled, I think the common thread has been he's looking for the big play more than he should, and his eyes are getting a little bit wide, which is kind of to be expected from a true freshman. But, you know, Eli, I think they're counting on him to be a little bit smarter than that because they have seen him when he's taken what the defense gives to them, when he's a little bit smarter with the football, and that's when this offense is at his most efficient.
Stephen Thompson with us on the Fan Hotline. He covers Pitt Athletics for the Post-Gazette. On the flip side, Stephen, the defense has been remarkable, and five interceptions and three of them for touchdowns against Syracuse speaks to that, obviously. But, you know, some guys getting some love nationally. Kyle Lewis on the Bednarik Award watch list, and I think that's well-deserved. This defense in its entirety, how would you assess the growth of, you know, the defense from the front seven to the secondary?
Yeah, so we knew the linebackers were going to be good. I think I said at the beginning of the year, I wasn't the only one to say this, but the linebackers were the best position group on the team, and I think they've lived up to that. Not only, you know, the top line of Kyle Lewis, Rasheem Biles, and Brandon George, all of whom are playing far and away the best football of their careers, but they have some depth too. Braylon Lovelace has been excellent. Key Thompson has been really good as a backup as well. But it's been the other parts of the team. It's been the other two levels, the improvements that the defensive line has made. Getting Sean Fitzsimmons back at defensive tackle has been huge, helped him create a little bit more pressure, made him a little bit better against the run as well. I mean, he's really only gotten about three games, I'd call it maybe three and a half games of action in a seven-game season so far. So getting him back full-time has been huge. Nick James has been in and out of the lineup as well, defensive tackle. So getting him back has been really big as well. But, you know, these corners who I thought at a certain point this season might have been a little bit of a liability have been excellent, especially over the past two games. You know, they haven't been challenged in the same way that they were maybe against Cincinnati or teams like that, or even North Carolina. But they were just like the linebackers against Syracuse, just all over every play. They were sticky in coverage. It was almost like they knew where the ball was going to go on every play. They were in position to hand Kyle McCord a couple more turnovers than the five, I believe. I think it was five interceptions that he threw on Thursday night. So it has been steady improvement by every level of this Pitt defense, and it's all aiding a linebacker group that's been the best, if not one of the best in the ACC, and you could even make the argument the country. Everyone's kind of doing their little bit, and the splash plays have come along. It was a slow start, but now you're seeing what this defense can really be, which is, you know, at its best, one of the elite, you know, turnover-forcing units and splash play earning units that you can see in college football today.
Now, SMU, Stephen, 7-1, obviously 20th in the country. Their only loss by a field goal to BYU, who has turned out to be a pretty damn good football team. They're undefeated. What else does SMU do well? We'll start offensively, both teams, Pitt and SMU, with similar numbers this season on offense, but it really does seem like it starts at tailback for the Mustangs.
Yeah, tailback, but also they have an interesting, I mean, they've got a bunch of guys who are threats as rushers and receivers. So you think about Breshard Smith is kind of the big star for them as far as skill position goes. I mean, he's already at 900 yards and 10 touchdowns, and we're, you know, a little bit more than halfway through the season. I guess they're, you know, closer to two-thirds of the way through the season, but still those are some pretty ridiculous numbers. But they've got, Roderick Daniels is another name, another guy that's kind of a multiple threat for them, both out of the backfield and catching the ball. They hit on big plays quite a bit. Jennings leads the ACC in yards per completion. It's kind of, I wouldn't say feast or famine because he's fairly efficient as well, but he does throw a lot of interceptions too. They do have a ton of turnovers. They give the ball away quite a bit. But they are really versatile. They have a lot of speed. They try to get to you on the outside, which is where Kyle Lewis and Rasheem Biles, who are pretty fast in their own right, are going to have to do a really good job playing sideline to sideline. You know, those linebackers especially are going to have to be on their toes. And then you think about the defensive line, especially the ends, but also those corners are going to have to do a good job stringing out plays, keeping contained, and then waiting until, you know, some support can get there to roll things up. Pitt's going to have to really fly to the ball against this SMU offense. I think they're going to try to keep it on the ground. They're a pretty good rushing offense. And then you got to always be vigilant if they try to do some play action or some trickery to try to beat you over the top once you're looking in the backfield a little bit too much.
Stephen Thompson with us of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. He covers Pitt Athletics for the PG. Stephen, for Pitt offensively against SMU's defense, what avenues do the Panthers have to success in the game plan?
Well, I think the number one thing is taking care of the football. This is a really opportunistic SMU defense. I don't think they're particularly stout, down to down, but they can lure you into some mistakes. And Eli Holstein has shown, especially over the past couple of weeks, that he can be prone to mistakes at times, that he can, like we talked about earlier, be looking for those big plays too often. They came really easily during the first 5 or 6 weeks, and then the well gets kind of shut off. So he's got to be smarter with the football, and I think as long as he does that, everything else kind of takes care of itself. Like I said, these playmakers that Pitt has are multiple, and they are really explosive when they get the ball in their hands. So Holstein's just got to deliver the ball to them. It's not like he has to be Superman, like he has to do anything special. He's just got to be smart with the football. And so if you don't allow SMU, who's one of the top teams in the ACC in terms of intercepting passes, they're number two right now in the ACC in intercepted passes. Just make sure that they don't get their hands on the football, that they don't steal plays from you. Make them beat you down to down, and hopefully they can get that running game back in order. You want to see what Terrence Enos, who's stepping in for Branson Taylor, the injured starting left tackle, you want to see what he can do. But kind of a big game for him, too, against some pretty good defensive ends from SMU. He's going to have to clear some way on the edge, give Desmond Reed some room to bounce some runs outside. Hopefully they can get some big plays there, too.
Yeah, so it sounds like you're pretty optimistic about the Panthers this week. Give them a very legitimate chance to win. Am I correct in saying that? And it sounds like maybe you think that most of the sports books having this thing at +7.5, the Panthers 7.5-point dogs, might be potentially a little steep. You give them a legit shot to win on the road?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely do give them a good shot to win on the road. I think especially after watching SMU turn the ball over 6 times total against Duke, and Duke didn't cash in any of those turnovers for points in a game that they lost by 1 point. So, you know, if SMU gives Pitt that kind of those kind of opportunities, if they pull up Kyle McCord, obviously, like, this game will be over pretty quickly. I do think that 7.5 points, I think it was when I looked earlier today, is pretty steep. I think a lot of it rides on Holstein's health. I don't know how, you know, the news about Jennings maybe being questionable has kind of played into it, but I would guess that for two teams who, you know, their resumes look fairly even. I know Pitt's on the road, but that usually only gives you about a 3 point bump. Usually, that's usually what you assume in betting lines for the home team. 7.5 point seems like a lot. If you can, I don't want to give anyone gambling advice, but if you can still get 7.5, I feel like that's a pretty sound bet. If Pitt does lose this game, I don't think they're going to get blown out, and I think they'll be comfortably within that 7.5 point margin. I really like them in this game. When I make my prediction later in the week, I'm probably going to pick them to win like I have all year. I think they match up pretty well with SMU. So that 7.5 line, I think, is mostly attached to Holstein's health. And if and when he gets cleared up later this week, I expect that line to change. And even if Nate Yarnell's in there, I have a lot of confidence that they'll be able to cover that line pretty comfortably.
Yeah, and even if it is Nate Yarnell, Steven, maybe potentially some added motivation for number 19, heading back to his home state about 3 hours, right, between his hometown of Austin and Dallas. I mean, you would have to imagine that would motivate him if he were given the opportunity.
Yeah, I'm sure it will certainly motivate him, but also, I mean, this is a guy who, well, let's face it, I mean, if this season continues to go the way that it's headed, and Eli Holstein sticks around for another year, he's, you know, still got 1 year before he's even draft eligible. Nate Yarnell is going to be probably looking for a different place to play. And, you know, if he can get a start against the top 25 team, put some good things on film, that's extra important for him. But I also think it might just be a pride thing for Nate. I mean, he knows that he's good enough to play at this level and to win at this level. So any chance that he gets to play football, I know is going to take that opportunity by the horns. He's going to attack it with everything that he's got. And you're right. Motivation between that factor, between heading back home, hopefully having some family and friends in the stands, there is going to be no shortage of motivation for one Nate Yarnell if he's the one who gets the nod on Saturday.
Steven Thompson of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette joining us, breaking it down. Pitt football, 18th in the nation. They take on 20th-ranked SMU on the road on Saturday. Steven, safe travels. Thanks for joining us. We'll do it again soon, man. I appreciate you.
Appreciate you, Jack. Have a good night.
You too, brother. Take care. That's Steven Thompson. There he goes. End of the second period of PPG Paints Arena. Joel Nelson and another Minnesota Wild goal. The Wild lead it 4-2. That is now 4 unanswered for the Penguins. Yay for Marc-Andre Fleury, but I'm at the point now where it's just become, I don't know what it's become. It's almost uncharted territory when it comes to these Penguins. It just goes from bad to worse, and now it seems like we're in foreign waters.
And think about how many times they've had leads in those games too. Like this, they had a 2-goal lead, 2-0. And then there was that Vancouver game, they had a 2-0 lead or something like that, a 2-goal lead, and that was erased rather quickly, and Vancouver won that game. It's brutal, dude.
It's brutal, and I think I'm going to say this, and then we can maybe take some phone calls on it as we head into the break. I think it's time to move on from Mike Sullivan, and I want your guys' take on it. 412-928-9370. Enough is enough. With this Penguins team, I think there's now a very legitimate shot that this team might make a midseason coaching change, and the Mike Sullivan era, in my eyes, should come to an end inside PPG Paints Arena. We'll take your phone calls on it if you choose to give us a buzz. 412-928-9370. Jack Hillgrove with you on the Fan Evening Show until 10:35 tonight. We'll be back. I don't want to be mean, but I'm going to be. Typical Yankee fans. I have the game on here in our studio. It's 2-0 bottom two. Dodgers up by a pair of runs with Anthony Rizzo at the dish. Now 1-2 count to Rizzo. This clip of this Yankees fan trying to pry a baseball out of Mookie Betts' glove is, in my eyes, cause for ban. That this guy should not be allowed to attend a live sporting event anywhere on the planet ever again. If you're unfamiliar, so let me pull up the replay here. This was in the first inning. Foul ball, Mookie Betts out in right field. Foul ball drifting towards the seats. This is in the bottom of the first inning. So this happened a good bit ago, but I just happen to see it now. Betts diving over towards the wall, makes the catch, glove extended in the air, and there's a row of fans right there. A couple of guys heckling him from a distance, and you'll have that. But then you see Betts trying to take his hand away. And you're like, well, what's going on? And then the ball pops out. Umpire right away calls fan interference. Gleyber Torres, who was batting, he's out. And then you've got these two yokels. Complete a-holes arguing with a security guard that comes over. And then you watch the slow-mo replay. This guy who's got this grin on his face, like, oh, look at me, the ball came over here. And then the grin turns into aggressive wincing. He manages to open Mookie Betts' glove and reach in with his right hand for the baseball, while his buddy to his left grabs Betts' right hand as Betts tries to secure the baseball and pull his hand away, grabs his right hand and prevent it from getting into the glove. And the guy strips the ball out and he's like, oh, yay, look at me. Shame on both of those guys. And the fact that they get to sit in those seats when you've got probably some passionate young fan up in the nosebleeds that lives and breathes and dies by the Yankees, that would probably give more about that game going on right now than those two idiots. They get to sit there, but they sit up there. That's a shame. And those two guys should be barred from entering Yankee Stadium ever again. And for that matter, barred from every sporting event on this planet for the rest of their lives. That is idiot behavior. And if you can't tell, I'm really upset about it. It's a shame, man. Like, why? Why act that way at a sporting event? A lot of stuff like that fires me up. And I go back to the Bartman situation. And obviously the magnitude of that moment was what it was in the NLCS, right, against the Marlins. But a lot of that, I think, had to do with just that guy not really paying attention and screwing up their own team. This guy went out of his way. Well, not out of his way. It was hit right to him. And violated almost a professional baseball player, Mookie Betts. I haven't seen much about it since. Hopefully that guy and his buddy got kicked out of the stadium. We'll have to see, but I mean, and the memes are funny. Trying to get the tennis ball out of my dog's mouth. That's pretty funny. The screenshot, Cassidy Wood of KDKA TV just tweeted it. The guy's smile on his face as the ball came towards him is pretty funny. But I mean, come on, dude. Be better. Have a little respect for the magnitude of the moment. And let's realize that you are not out there with your team. You're there for a reason. You're in the stands. 412-928-9370. Joel, does this person want to talk about that play? It's Steele and Blahnox. What's up, man?
Hey, what's up? I actually want to touch on real quick. You know, whenever these balls are hit, you know, like a home run, and it's coming at a fan, right? And a player reaches up. I mean, the fan has every right, I believe, to try to catch that ball.
Sure.
I mean, we're talking about a game here, and a really a meaningless game. you're acting like these guys are like, oh, don't touch them. They're like above us. It's a meaningless game.
Well, it's not a meaningless game.
How many times it's happened?
It's not a meaningless game. It's game four.
It's a game, dude.
It's game
nothing.
It's game four of the World Series. It doesn't mean
what? It's a game. You're like treating it like it's like religion or something. It's not. It's a meaningless game. Don't worship these dudes. That's pathetic to me. That gets me fired up.
All right, Steele. Goodbye. You're wrong. W-R-O-N-G. It's not a meaningless game. It's game four of the World Series. And I actually agreed with the first part of his call. If I was sitting in that situation, I feel like human instinct takes over and you reach for the baseball or you reach for the ball. That's fine. And if you incidentally contact the guy and it screws up the play, it is what it is. But human instinct, yeah, I might go try and catch that ball. I'm not going to say like I'm going to back away and not do it. But Mookie Betts caught the ball. The ball entered his glove. And guy went into his glove and tried to rip it out. If it would have been one of those things where he would have reached over and just collided, it is what it is. It's human nature. Those plays happen all the time. But the catch was made, and not one but two of them, two guys, one reaches into his glove and the other guy holding him back so he can't get to his glove. Like, come on, man. And to suggest, Steele, that I think that these athletes are above those guys sitting in the seats is ridiculous. I never said that. Don't put words in my mouth. But have a little bit of respect for the moment. It's not a meaningless game. It's game four of the freaking World Series. Go tell all those Yankee fans and all the Dodgers fans watching back in LA that it's a meaningless game. I'm sure that'd be a conversation you'd love to have. Give me a break. Anyway. 2-0, two strikes on Alex Verdugo, but he's got runners on second and third. So this thing could get interesting in Yankee Stadium. Third period getting set to start down at PPG Paints Arena. Penguins have given up 4 unanswered goals. They trail the Wild and Marc-Andre Fleury 4-2, and Verdugo just grounded out. But he scored a run, so the Yankees cut the lead in half. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. Check out the 24 Silverado 1500 at 1.9% financing up to 36 months with approved credit through GM Financial. Full terms and conditions at sunchevy.com. Low tonight of 58, highs in the low 80s tomorrow. Enjoy it. It's fan weather. Coming up, George Michalowski, Pittsburgh Sports Now, and the Portal Report. We're going to talk some Pitt hoops. They've got a secret scrimmage and an exhibition under their belts before the season opens up later on next week. It's the Fan Evening Show until 10:35. I'm Jack Hillgrove. We'll be back in a moment.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.